Hello, and welcome to Epic People, a global community of researchers, creators, and innovators doing ethnography for impact in businesses and organizations. In this podcast series, we are focusing on reflections as we celebrate 20 years of ethnographic praxis, and as a lead up to our 20th conference in LA this August, we're looking back on our past themes, from sociality in 2005 to friction in 2023. Our conference themes from the past two decades have not lost relevance, but may well have evolved, shifted, and taken on new meanings. Epic People examines those shifts, featuring longtime and newer members of this vibrant and global community. Enjoy.
This is Jan English Lewick, and I was co-chair of Epic 2021, in which our theme was anticipation. We were the second COVID-19 conference. Originally, the idea was that we would host the event in San Jose, and it all fell apart. Now, our colleagues in Australia gave us some hint of what it would be like to convert the conference to an online format, but that was really only the tip of the iceberg. Anticipation was always the theme that I wanted to explore. I'm a distinguished fellow at the Institute for the Future. I've spent my academic life as a professor of anthropology at San Jose State and as an active practitioner, thinking about the ways in which we can apply social science thinking to the future so that we are actively planning, actively designing, taking ownership of the future and gaining some agency. And also thinking about the really thorny questions about who has the power to have that agency and who gets left behind. Who are the vulnerable populations when it comes to thinking about the future? All questions, I think, are very, very central to the heart of practitioners, whether you are in design or strategy or looking for use cases or thinking about user experiences. All of those things have a dimension to them that anticipates the future. And we take that for granted. And I wanted to apply some intentionality to how we would approach that particular topic. And it was ironic that we had to reinvent ourselves to have the 2021 conference because of the unanticipated event of a worldwide pandemic. We learned from our colleagues in Australia that if you're going to go virtual, that means you have to occupy a 24-hour clock. So just the logistics of a virtual conference was overwhelming. And of course, I wanted to make it exciting the way an in-person event would have been exciting. Luckily, my colleagues Sam Ladner and Jamie Sherman were incredibly inventive and helped me think through all of those things about how you engage people in a virtual conference. It was inclusive in a way that I hadn't really experienced before. Now, Epic is a very inclusive audience in the sense that it brings in many disciplines, it brings in people from different stages of their career, but the reality of the logistics of being able to go to an expensive place like San Jose and stay here, that would have been exclusionary. That door opened up when we made it online. It doesn't open it completely because there are still limitations for access, but it opened it up significantly. And I think we learned a lot from that experience on how to treat the audience of Epic. Now, one of the things that I wanted to do in the conference is, of course, bring that intentional futures perspective to the practitioners that are involved and the academics that are involved in the Epic community. And I say both because I'm an academic and a practitioner. And I think one of the powers of the Epic community is the ability to see that practitioners have an incredible database of information. And I think that that's the Epic difference. I have seen over the course of my four-decade career in anthropology that anthropology and the tools that we use, such as ethnography, have become de-skilled, that we treat them almost as transactional items on a resume to be bought and sold. And that undersells the power of what we can do. And I know that our Epic audience is much bigger than an anthropological audience, but I think that this holds true, that practitioners tend to undersell themselves and not realize that their analytical skills, their communication skills, their networking skills amplify their value in a significant way. And Epic has been the home that allows us to really explore that Epic difference. in the conference we put together, there were a lot of fun things that we did. Of course, anticipation as a theme allowed us to really lean into the metaphors that shape a conference. And so we leaned into science fiction metaphors in a big way. We named our time zones after iconic planets that were in famous works of science fiction that thought about ecosystems and human systems in a deeply compassionate and realistic way. We thought about the question that it plagues science fiction as it plagues our own social science disciplines of who gets to own the future and claim the future, and that it isn't all white men. And particularly since our organizing group consisted of women, we definitely wanted to lean into that theme. And so I think one of the things we brought to the conference is really questioning and problematizing the idea of official futures. Now, many of us have worked with and maybe in organizations that have official futures, futures that come out of a mission statement and that rarely get questioned. But we also recognize as social scientists and members of the EPIC community that those official futures are deeply flawed. And we think about the social production of those official futures. So we wanted to invite keynote speakers to really upset that notion of, well, there's an official future and that's the only future we can talk about. We wanted to really lean into the ideas of Afro futures and indigenous futures. And I thought that we did that in a very compelling way. And I must say that the discussions on indigenous futures, for example, continue to inform the way I talk about technologies with engineers and organizations and communities of practice, thinking about how the metaphor of technology as tool shifts when you think about technology as kin and start to really consider a much more holistic ecosystem of interaction. And yes, there's a very strong theoretical science, technology, society structure to that, STS structure to that. But there's also at the heart of it, some heart, some compassion, some empathy for the ways in which we interact with the devices that are shaping our lives. And as we enter this next era of discussions on the impact of AI, the use of AI, the problematic nature of AI, I think we're opening ourselves up to this year's theme, the theme of foundations, displacement, generation, that the next generation will really have to engage with tools that are peculiarly kin in ways that the ancestors didn't really have to think about. So I'm hoping as we start heading towards Santa Monica and the deep questions that are going to be explored there, that we have some opportunities to anticipate where our disciplines are going and take some agency and begin to maybe change that narrative, not in a dramatic revolutionary way, but even questioning that narrative has a lot of power. When I think about what researchers and ethnographers should be doing now, I think they should be being intentional about thinking about the human ecosystems of the past, the ways in which we function now, and the multiple futures and their consequences, and that we have the power to maybe shape the direction of those futures if we are intentional about that. I really want us to think about that because we're all in positions where we can shift the discourse. And I know most of us say, nobody listens to us. But that's not entirely true. And I am an ancient, one of the ancestors among you. And I could say over the course of my 50-year life as an anthropologist and 40-year life as a professional anthropologist, that I have seen the ways in which we talk shift the discourse towards inclusion, towards starting to really think about the unintended consequences of our actions and bringing a different voice to those conversations. And yes, the voice may not be the controlling voice, but it's an important voice. And I don't think that we should exclude that voice by self-editing. So I would say Let's think about some really important ideas to take into the future. I think we should think about anticipating our impacts, shaping those impacts by choosing the narratives that we want to speak, and by fully engaging with each other as a community and fully engaging with the tools that are going to define that community in the future. So that's where I think we're going. And I believe we can both anticipate and also generate some really exciting futures for the EPIC community.
Thanks for listening. As everything with EPIC, this series could not have been done without an amazing effort from volunteers and a small but mighty EPIC team. Thanks go to the EPIC People Reflections podcast team, Dustin Cascaden, Elizabeth Haywood, Evan Hanover, Marta Kachurian-Zapan, and Martha Cotton. To learn more about EPIC, attend the conference in LA from August 18th to the 21st, and to learn about other ways to be involved in our community, please go to 2024.epicpeople.org. Thanks.